Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. You know, there's all... Remember, I'm running this show. You're not. This is Rick Lee, well-known personality around town. You never know, this guy is the chairman of the governor's nuclear advisory council. Also, you know, an honor that you received, a year or so ago, the Order of the Palmetto. Very nice.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
What else can you tell us besides you have a grandson here today?
Well, my grandson wanted to see what a radio broadcast looked like, and he wanted to meet the man who is Mr. Broadcast himself, Manning Kimmel.
I think he's more interested in this sandwich that he's got all over the place over here. Oh, my. How you been, brother?
I've been fine, thanks. Enjoying the cool weather and actually glad to see the rain.
God, we've had enough rain.
We have indeed.
How are the blueberries?
They're just now coming in. So I guess you're expecting me to come by and
visit
you.
How nice that would be. Woo, I'd love to have some. So I want you to take 60 seconds and tell everybody, if you can do it in 60 seconds, about this trip that you just took on a motorcycle.
Oh, my goodness.
To Morocco. This is something else. Listen to this. Go ahead.
I went to Spain, picked up a motorcycle, and took a ferry from Gibraltar across to Casablanca. And then with several of my colleagues, we headed out into the hinterland through the mountains and over into the Sahara Desert. And we were gone 16 days on two wheels. And I would say that you had a lot of men who were excellent riders with lots of testosterone in a highly unregulated environment. We had a blast.
And you're ready to get off when you get home.
Oh, I don't know. I had to think twice about getting on the plane. I was happy to be on that motorcycle.
2,000 miles?
About 2,000 miles. We called it the trip of a lifetime, but as we rode more and more, we changed the name to Death at Any Moment.
I'm sure your wife loved hearing that.
No, didn't she just?
And so this is not the end of the adventure?
No, we're planning on doing the Himalayas next year. We'd like to see if we can get up to 19,000 feet without fainting. So,
and are you driving carbureted bikes?
They're fuel injected. So
fuel injected, so they can make it.
Yeah.
It's just a question of whether the rider.
The rider may be the weakest link in that case.
I hope you all are smart enough to realize your brain's going wahad. You need to stop and go back the other way.
I'm going to stop and fill up with oxygen before we start up.
Well, good for you. I love hearing about your adventures. Okay, speaking about adventures, and I think the best way to set this table is a discussion about what the state of South Carolina is facing with this tremendous growth that we've had. We're now over, 5.5 million people. And with all these industries that are here, all the rooftops, we've got an energy challenge facing us. Let's put it that way. True?
Yeah, it's a major challenge. South Carolina uses more electricity than we produce. That's a fact. And so if we want to continue to grow our economy and grow our state, we must come up with more power sources, electricity. That's what drives the economy. That's what drives AI. That's what drives the industries. And it meets the needs of all the homeowners. So we have to come up with some more power plants.
And we're not talking about wind turbines and water power.
No, there's no more lakes, no more rivers. The wind and solar, they have their place in the mix of power production. But just as was demonstrated in Spain a few weeks ago, when they had a complete crash of their grid because of over-reliance on solar and wind power, we have to have solid base load, reliable power production. People don't understand that with a power plant, coal-fired, nuclear-fired, whatever it may be, that they have a generator in there that spins around and round and round producing electricity. It's very heavy and it's very large. So if there's a problem on the grid and that plant shuts down, that generator continues to spin for another 15 minutes before it stops producing electricity. And that gives the operators on the grid an opportunity to move power from one location to another or try to avoid a collapse as what happened in Spain. Because you have solar power and wind power taking such a large segment of their grid, when it stops instantly. Mm-hmm. There is no reaction time. So it's called inertia. So the real power plants have inertia, and they give the operators of the grid a chance to stabilize and to fix things before you have a calamity.
We could do a whole program that I probably wouldn't understand at all about how all the electrical producers are interconnected. Mm-hmm. So they can pull power from one station and shove it over to another. I don't begin to understand all that. But I gather it's kind of like the internet. It's out there, and you just have to pull it down.
It's called wheeling. You wheel the power. And so power can be moved from one location to another. The longer the distance, the more power you lose in the lines, your heat, right, and so on and so forth. But it is a legitimate practice, and a grid that doesn't have a connection to other grids is very vulnerable.
So right now, based on where we are here in 2025, we're not producing enough power?
Yes.
All right. So are we producing 80% of what we need, 90%?
I don't know what the number is, but there's no question when you start looking at these major AI facilities that want to come into the state, if one of them comes in and says, I need 500 megawatts, which is a lot of power, to run my AI computers and servers, finding 500 megawatts is probably beyond the current grid.
Really?
So, now, 500 megawatts, again, is a lot of power. An AP1000 nuclear reactor, the Westinghouse model, produces 1,100. So you have two units out of Catawba. They produce 2,200. So if you're talking about pulling 500 out for use in an AI facility, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. So enter the discussion once again of the failed VC Summer nuclear power plant. Give me some background on how this got started and what happened.
Well, the power, it's a two-unit power plant. It's down in Jenkinsville, which is a very rural part of the state. And these two units were under construction. Unit number two reached about a 45% completion number, and unit number three reached about 15% when basically a combination of things occurred, including bad management, rising costs, and of course the NRC changed the rules so that they had to do a lot of rework to match up with the new requirements. And it financially failed. And there were a number of people who didn't meet their fiduciary responsibilities with regards to reporting and keeping the boards of directors advised and all that sort of thing. So some guys went to jail. But the plant, at the moment when they decided we're not going to be able to do this thing, they sent out a call on the radios and told everybody, drop your tools, you're out of here.
True.
I mean, effectively, that's how quickly it happened.
And at that point, you would say how many billions of dollars?
$9 billion.
$9 billion has spent.
Yeah.
At that point. So along comes a guy who has this convertible, what is it, an MG? Austin Healey. Pardon. How dare me say the word MG? This guy decides he's going to take a little trip out here to see what's going on at Jenkinsville. And lo and behold, it looked like the thing had just gotten started.
It was amazing. I called a colleague of mine on the Nuclear Advisory Council, Jim Little, and asked him if he wanted to accompany him because he had, you know, good knowledge in the nuclear business. I had more construction experience, and he had more experience with some of the design features that are in a plant. So we rode down there, and quite honestly, I fully expected to see zombies and the apocalypse, tumbleweeds and coyotes and all that kind of thing. But what we found instead was that Santee Cooper had the vision to put a maintenance crew down there to keep things in good order. And they had some folks that they hired from Fluor to do that. And so the equipment that needed to be preserved in air conditioning was kept in air conditioning. The equipment that needed to be kept out of the weather was all tented and put in warehouses. One of the other interesting attributes of this was that the company that originally started it, by the name of Shaw, had a contract where they got paid as soon as they spent money. So naturally, Shaw bought every piece of equipment they could possibly get into that warehouse. So almost all of the stuff required to finish the plant is sitting there.
Just sitting there.
Sitting there in the warehouse. They have, I think, what was it, 4 million square feet of warehouse or some such number.
Already paid for.
All of it's paid for. It's all sitting there. And the reactors themselves are in outstanding condition. I mean, you just couldn't believe what we were seeing.
Well, you know, you go back to the comments you made earlier, inept management. I mean, why would they shutter the plant?
Well, they didn't have any money.
Oh, I got that. But why didn't somebody say there's got to be a way to finish this project? Got to be a way.
You may not have been as cognizant of all that was going on down there, but people are going to jail. Those 4,000 or 5,000 people out of work.
Oh, yeah.
The angst that the state legislature suffered from this, I mean, it was just a horrendous thing.
Santee Cooper and SCE&D, a G, right?
Yeah.
They were the two.
Right.
And I can't remember all the dynamics, but in comes Dominion Energy. They bought out SCE&G.
Right.
And took over that part of it. And the rate holders right now, I think, are paying a little bit recoup some of that.
They're paying for the loans. They're paying off the loans that were taken up. So right. The rate payers essentially are paying for a power plant that wasn't finished, from which they received no electricity. So that's part of the reason, the motivation to get this thing done.
So SCE&G and Dominion still own what's there?
Dominion owns it.
Dominion owns it.
Well, it's actually Santee Cooper and Dominion both own the sites.
Okay. So we take our little trip in our Austin Healey, take a whole bunch of pictures. Everybody's shocked, and you send a letter to the governor with a bunch of pictures?
Yeah.
And he says, OMG.
Yeah. Well, everybody who saw it said the same thing. Tom Davis, Senator Davis, and I worked closely together. He was as surprised at what was there as I was, and he had been an advocate of trying to make something happen. So Senator Davis pulled together a number of the other senators, and we talked to some off-takers. Those are the people who would buy the electricity. And it certainly looked like there was a market for the electricity. And so gradually this worked its way through the State House and State Senate. And got a joint resolution supporting it, and the governor came out in support of it. And eventually Santee Cooper became very active and issued an RFP to go solicit companies to finish it, because Santee Cooper is a small utility. They don't have the money to do this. I mean, if this is another $15 billion, I don't know what the figure is going to be, but they don't have that kind of financial clout. So somebody other than Santee Cooper is going to have to finish it, and we have to make sure that the ratepayers for Santee Cooper are not impacted by it.
So we have sent out an RFP to the world, and the world, how many have responded to this?
I'm not sure I can give you an exact number, but I can say it's many.
Many.
Many people became interested in this, and all kinds of different folks, financiers, contractors, people who want to build a fleet of reactors for themselves. Mm. I mean, it's just remarkable how extensive it was.
So we sit here in York County, South Carolina. There's a company here by the name of Duke, which designs, builds, and operates these things. Mm-hmm. Knows how to do it. They got a bunch of them.
Well, Duke doesn't build their own anymore.
Well, maybe not anymore, but they built this one up here.
They built the Catawba. I worked there.
Yeah, okay. So are they interested? Are they one of them who's kicking the tires?
They're very aware of the project, and I'm sure many people have contacted them. I'm confident of that, because if you're going to build these two reactors, you have to have an operator.
Ooh.
That's somebody who actually holds the license.
Right.
And a utility company that has a fleet of reactors is an ideal candidate for that. Plus, you know, you've got to train the operators before the plant's even finished. 2 years to train a reactor plant operator.
Oh, I bet.
And so there's going to be a utility involved in this. Whoever it is, who it is, it remains unknown.
All right. Only the shadow knows for sure.
That's right.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax you with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, here's what we do. Get that chocolate chip cookie out of your mouth. Can you read? I'm sure you can. The white letters at the count of three, we're all going to yell it out together because this is what we do here at Substation 2. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Sandwich lovers, Substation 2 is celebrating another year of deliciousness. This is Charlie Ruffalo. For 39 years, Substation 2 has been creating signature subs piled high with premium meats and cheeses and big, crisp salads with lots of fresh veggies. On June 6th, our first 39 customers will win one free sub every month for an entire year. And the next 39 customers will snag an incredible 39% discount on any one order. Enjoy a taste of tradition crafted with love for 39 years and counting. Substation 2, where every bite is a celebration. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks from anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you'd think with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporium, always ready.
If you need catering, Substation 2 has a number of options. Right, Charlie?
At Substation 2, we have giant party subs. We have sliced deli meat trays. We have sandwich trays. We basically have everything you need for the party except the people. And we can supply them, too.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Rick Lee is with us, chair of the Governor's Nuclear Advisory Committee. And yep, once again, we're looking at the potential rebirth of the V.C. Sumner Nuclear Power Plant, which was shuttered here several years ago because Santee Cooper and SCE&G just couldn't make it happen. It just was a mess. They ran out of money, and there it is. So here we are with this newfound information that we have all this wonderful equipment been properly taken care of in air-conditioned buildings, no tumbleweed, no nothing. Everything is in good shape. You've presented this to the governor, and now the House and the Senate have all liked what they've done. You sent out a resolution, an RFP. What happens now?
Well, there's several things that have to take place. One, and perhaps at the front of the line, is to make sure that in the upcoming federal budget, they don't mark out the loan guarantees and the tax credits, which have formed the basis for the construction of Plant Vogtle and other major energy projects. I mean, this is a high-risk business, building a reactor. And so the government's willingness to sort of back the loans will allow the builder to have a lower interest rate and to be assured of financing being available, which might not be available to just straight private sector sources.
Okay.
So that's very important. And then secondly,
how iffy is that? This is going to disappear.
Well, it disappeared in the House budget, but I understand the Senate is putting it back in.
Okay.
And the president has come out in favor of it. In fact, he just issued 4 executive orders on the subject of nuclear power, which are very comprehensive, trying to address many of the problems that the industry has had in the past, like waste disposal, the length of time to get a license. Mm-hmm. There's so many pieces to it. The reprocessing that we started and then Jimmy Carter canceled. So there's a lot that came out of his executive orders.
What about that big repository out there in Utah?
Yucca Mountain is still there. It hasn't been filled up with anything. And as I understand it now, the total amount of money that was collected from ratepayers and the interest to date puts that fund at about a $40 billion value. And the money is can't be used for anything. I'm not aware of any way that that can be used. But in any case, Yucca Mountain, setting that aside, the Santee Cooper is going to have to choose a consortium of companies that will work together to build this thing. You'll need an engineering procurement and construction company to actually build it. You'll need a company in there to do an assessment of the condition of all the key nuclear components, to assess the condition of the concrete and the rebar and all that have been sitting there for these years. Do an inventory of all of the materials and items that are there and collect all this information to build a cost to complete estimate and a schedule to complete estimate. And with those 2 documents in hand and with the inventories and so forth, somebody will be able to make a final investment decision. That's the FID.
So if everything went according to this plan, we could reasonably expect this thing to be done in, what, 5 years?
There's about, I would guess, and I'm not the expert, but I would guess that it probably is a year and a half or 2 years on the front, getting through all of the licensing, all of the permitting, the inventories, the estimates. And you basically, it had a license when it was being built.
Right.
So what they have to do is to reestablish that the whole site is at the same condition it was at the end of 2017.
Okay.
And that will allow the NRC to more easily give them a license and get this thing underway, under construction.
Well, your background is building big projects.
Yeah. So.
After a year and a half of legwork with all this paperwork with the NRC and what have you, how long would it take to build this thing, do you think?
6 or 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, 2032, maybe we would be finished. It could be 2031. There were a lot of lessons learned at Plant Vogtle in Georgia on how to build the Westinghouse AP1000 reactor. That's what this is.
Right.
So they'll take the lessons learned from that. What they learned in Georgia, they built 2 of them over there, is the second one was built more quickly and for a lot less money than the first one.
Okay, so if you were a betting man, what are the odds that this is all going to come to play? I mean, the big thing is what we talked about in the beginning, and that is South Carolina is not producing enough electricity for the demand that we have right now, and we're growing.
Yeah, it's a real problem. You know, we're slated to shut down 4 different coal-fired power plants in this state, but I think that there's going to be a additional thought with regards to that. And maybe we don't shut them down until we have replacement power in hand.
You think?
And towards that end, the state legislature has approved in their energy bill a 2,000-megawatt gas turbine plant to be built. Santee Cooper will be doing that with Dominion. And who knows, maybe they'll build another one. Who can speak for the legislature?
They're retrofitting a coal plant, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's going to be powered by gas, natural gas.
Right, okay.
So
if we go back to square one where we started all this about a half hour ago, is this going to be enough if V.C. Sumner comes online? Is it going to be enough to handle this, or do we need to be looking for another one?
Well, everybody's talking about these small modular reactors right now. And I have to say that, to me, a small modular reactor produces 300 megawatts maximum. a full-size reactor produces 1,100. So I don't think the jury is in yet with regards to these small modular reactors called SMRs as to what the actual cost of electricity is going to be on a smaller unit and whether or not the public is willing to pay more to have these SMRs to make the electricity for them. So, yes, in answer to your question, yes, we will need more power. This AI revolution that's going to be driving our economy is going to consume a huge amount of power, not to mention the industries that are moving into South Carolina. With the president's initiatives on tariffs, if in fact he's able to generate a reinvestment in the country, again, it's going to have to be driven by electricity. And electricity comes from power plants. The belief that you can do solar and wind is a noble thing, but the reality of it is that if you wanted to replace the two nuclear power plants at Catawba that sit on 400 acres of land, to replace them would take 90,000 acres of solar panels. And I don't know about you, but I'm just not willing to look at that many square miles of solar panels.
Or as Randy Ligon would tell you, think about the farmland we're taking up.
Absolutely.
By putting solar panels out.
Well, I have to chuckle every time somebody says that we're building a solar farm. In reality, they're building a solar desert.
Yeah.
Because every tree, every bush, all the wildlife, it's all driven out of there. There's nothing but solar panels sitting there. And by definition, that to me is a desert.
And to produce whatever, 1%, 2% of whatever the electrical needs, you know, what do we have? All right, so with all this being said, is somebody, maybe your committee or somebody on the General Assembly looking down the line 10 years, 20 years from now to say, hey, this is fine, we'll keep working on this, but we're going to need something else?
Well, I'm sure that there are. I will say the legislature changed the role of the Nuclear Advisory Council in this last budget bill. And the Nuclear Advisory Council now is supposed to put together a long-term strategic plan for nuclear power, fusion, a whole host of energy sources. And once we get started on that, we'll be working up some kind of plan for the state, get it in black and white, and then we'll have a focus on exactly what we need to do.
Good Lord. How do you go about doing that? Bring in some big brains and sit down and figure out what the options are?
Yeah, it'll take some time and effort, no question. But we've got good people on the Nuclear Advisory Council with many years of experience. We'll be working with SC Nexus, who's handling transmission issues regarding power. So it's a big undertaking, and I guess we don't really, as a state, have any choice. We have to do this.
So in your estimation, how close are we to having what they have in California all the time, brownouts, because of all this you're talking about?
I think because we have 55% of our power right now from nuclear power plants.
Right.
And we have another, 20-25% from coal fire plants. We're probably in pretty good shape.
But let's not be... thinking this is going to be the way it's always going to be.
Yes.
Right.
Eventually we'll outgrow them.
Boy, oh boy. Rick Lee, as always, a very interesting interview. Thank you very much for all that you're doing with the Nuclear Advisory Council. That's amazing. It's amazing work. I can see me sitting in on one of your meetings. I would not understand a word. I would say, I got the out of there, but I can't understand anything else. My gosh. Great work. Thank you so much for being here
My
today.
My pleasure as always.
Did you enjoy that sandwich? Was it okay? Oh, it was good. Okay. You're going to get your chance to bellow it out again together. Uh-huh. There we go. All right. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay. One more time. We're going to tell everybody outside why they need to be inside, because it's cool and we have fresh subs and salads in here. Now, why do people keep coming here day after day after day? You're a smart young man, and you'll figure this out. At the white letters, at the count of three, are we all ready? One, two, three. Bye. Bye. Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.